The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk.
It gives me great pleasure to welcome to studio Dan O'Brien. Dan is Chief Economist of the Institute of International and European Affairs, and Marie-Louise Paris, who is the Director of the UCD Centre for Human Rights. You're both very welcome, folks. Here to talk about the French election. So I guess, understandably, Dan, maybe from kind of a cultural point of view and a media point of view and a common language point of view, a huge amount of attention in Ireland when it comes to international elections, what is happening in the UK. We probably should be paying more attention to what is happening in France, should we?
I definitely think so. I think this election in France coming up is actually more important than what's happening in Britain for a number of reasons. One, because France is so important for the European Union. That is a really important thing for any government department here. People are involved in the European level. It's a really big part of how we govern ourselves. And then the economic perspective, that we're in the euro. France is and Marie-Louise will go into the politics of it, but it is alarming to see how France is going, that France's next parliament looks like it's going to be filled with people from the extreme right and the extreme left. Now, for a country that's as big and as influential and an economy that is so important for Europe, to get into that sort of political crisis doesn't even begin to describe it. The euro still has its problems. Some people argue that the euro crisis with Greece and what we are problems never really went away, and it's just in the long grass. And this could be a trigger to reignite it. It's that serious.
So, Marie-Louise, you might give us a sense then of what is happening kind of internally in France and what we can expect from this election, or what we think we can expect.
Okay, so what's happening internally is that, as you know, there was this really unexpected dissolution in June, on the 9th of June, by Macron, which triggered that the snap elections. On the 30th of June and 7th of July. And the problem is that the presidential majority is in retreat. It doesn't really manage to gather as much support as it should. And there are three blocks. And as Dana said, there are two extremist blocks. So the New Popular Front, which is gathering all of the left parties, including the Socialists, the Communists and the LFI, the La France Insoumise, or Rebellious France, and the RN, the National Rally. And these two blocks from the last opinion poll that I've just looked at, it seems that indeed the RN is really close to have, you know, the majority, relative majority, or the majority of seats, close to, the poll in favour, 36%.
Okay.
So from the IFOP fiducial poll. Behind is the at around 26, nearly 30, but, you know, the left, the coalition of the left, and, you know, behind again the majority of the president, with 20%. You know,
where's the centre gone in French politics?
There is an expression in France where we say the extreme centre, and maybe the extreme centre is just, you know, is not a way to govern with this very specific, peculiar system. And also, Macron has not maybe been clear on all the different, you know, problems of France, and especially in the economy. And I insist as well on the economical situation, which is really dire for France.
Okay, because I want to go back to Dan on maybe what problems are kind of looming in the long grass and have been, and how all of this might kind of precipitate kind of changes that impact Ireland. But what are the economic issues within France, and what are the other issues at play in this election?
In France, first, this is the share of the debt, you know, the enormous amount of the fact that the French people will have to pay in the future years the debt. And just to show you the financing law for 2023-2027 anticipates nearly that 50 billions of euros of the share of the debt. So it's an enormous amount, which has been increasing for the last number of years, and the government knows that. But the challenge, precisely for the extreme, and if you look at their programs, would be to actually deal with this economic situation in a very constrained way, and they have not much choice. And this is why the different programs of the two extremes, the popular New Popular Front and the RN, are very they are they don't really make, you know, this work. Mm. And this is very worrying because it will worsen the situation. So I think Macron is as maybe he can play on that. But yeah.
So, Dan, for Irish people listening to this, wondering how all of this might impact us, in what way does it possibly play out?
Could I just add a thing that we're very attached to our electoral system here.
Yeah.
I think it's very important just to point out something about the French electoral system, that it's not like a proportionate system, that if you get 20% of the vote, you'll probably get 20% of the seats. Mm. It's been a way that basically the extremes have been kept out, that even though they've increased their percentage of the vote, that has not been reflected in the number of parliamentarians. Problem with a system like that is if you reach a tipping point, it goes the other way. So that's why...
So the centrists are pushed out.
Exactly.
Okay.
And that's why you're going to have this parliament packed with extremists. And that's what I personally find so alarming, and how, as Marie-Louise said, that spills over into economic policy. So exactly right. Very big debt. So the amount of public debt, government debt, relative to the size of the economy, has kept growing. It's now bigger. The amount of public debt in France
is bigger. And continually running a deficit.
And they're also running a deficit. So if you run a deficit every year, you build up your debt.
Yeah.
Usually. Now, not only has France been doing that for decades, but as that has accumulated over time, you've got this bigger and bigger stock of debt. So you're running, spending more than you're earning, and that's happening a lot now at the moment in France. Plus, you've got this big debt. Now, the risk is that, as we found out 10 years ago, 14 years ago, sometimes investors just take fright and they say, ooh, there's a risk we're not going to get paid back. And you get into this sort of downward spiral where the cost of borrowing goes up and your public finances blow up. Now, I'm not saying that's imminent in France, but if you have a period of time where France becomes ungovernable and its parliament is packed with extremists and its president has a completely different view, they can't agree anything, then you get into a really serious political, economic debt cycle potentially that blows up as it did in Greece and triggered the Eurozone crisis. Now, again, I'm not saying that's going to happen, but it's certainly there is a risk that things get out of control. And particularly because France is so big, it's the second biggest economy in Europe. It's one of the biggest economies in the world. There's a huge amount of public debt. A lot of things can go wrong if France's politics go seriously wrong.
And Marie-Louise, is that how this plays out as per expectation, that you end up with a parliament full of extremists and you get kind of political kind of stasis, that you've got the kind of the office of the president and parliament incapable of working together? Or how, you know, you have to explain maybe the French system and how it would work in that system. We're kind of used maybe to the US system and there'd be a midterm elections and then suddenly you've got kind of a lame duck president, as they would call him.
So generally when you have a dissolution, it's a president wanting to have a refreshed majority. So obviously this refreshed majority won't be there. So it would be something else, something that France has never experienced, really, because the two previous, you know, the dissolutions, actually the three, the apart from the one from Chirac, which is a bit the odd one out. But Macron has lost completely the control, not the control in a pejorative sense, but the majority. Mm. So what will happen is that probably, as you say, the question is to say which pack of extremists will be. We don't know. But does Macron will be, govern with a prime minister who will reflect the majority, the new majority in the assembly, whether it's from Bardella or the new Popular Front. And the thing is that Macron is not running for another mandate. It's the end of his mandate, whereas the other cohabitation, the president was, could be re-elected.
Okay.
So Macron is on the end of his trajectory. So he will have to make compromises, probably, or he will be very, and in a cohabitation like that, the center of gravity of power comes back to the prime minister, comes back to the government, as the constitution, the letter of the constitution, says. So, everything, okay, so there is a constitutional text, but then everything will go, will be determined by the personality of all these people. And Macron will have to make compromises. Maybe there are two areas where, you know, traditionally they don't make compromises, like to appoint, for example, the Minister for Defense and Foreign Affairs.
Yeah.
That they consider that it is the reserved domain of the president. But then again, the prime minister might not want to be too harsh on the president, because obviously, given the international situation, the European situation, they might have to do compromises. And this prime minister might, in the future years, become a president himself or herself.
Can I just get Kieran? So, it's really important. Yeah. The politics, the economics, but also the security. So Macron has been one of the staunchest, has become one of the staunchest pro-Ukraine powers. France is one of only three nuclear powers in Europe, along with Russia and Britain. It's got a serious army. It is taken seriously when it comes to security. Now, the far right has links to Russia, which could be in government. Now, if Putin sees that you have one of the strongest, most powerful countries in Europe that's in political chaos, that its government is sympathetic to Russia more than Ukraine, you know, this adds a whole other dimension then to how bad this is. You've got the politics in France, the economics in the euro, and the security situation with Russia. Mm-hmm. All of these things coming together, it's really concerning.
Yeah. And in what way then, Dan, does that concern manifest in a way that impacts Ireland?
Well, it's the euro crisis part that I've already mentioned.
And so can I ask about the euro crisis part then? So say you've got then, if the markets don't kind of get utterly spooked, they do get a little worried, we'll say. They're looking at this debt pile and the continuing deficit and political stasis. What other countries in Europe, what other member states might kind of be nervously looking at their own debt pile and their own deficit?
Well, Italy has been the really, you know, sort of thing, even before COVID, back in, you know, 6-7 years ago. If you spoke to people in Brussels, the officials in Brussels, they were, what kept them awake at night was a crisis in Italy.
Because
Italy's economy.
But I remember that back in the Eurozone crisis, they all were terrified Italy would kind
of. Indeed, but it never got that far. Yeah. Now, the ECB started intervening to do things. But the French economy is much stronger than the Italian economy. So the Italian economy is really strong, really, really fundamentally weak, hasn't grown in 25 years. So if this blows up, and there's a contagion effect, and it starts affecting Italy, then we get into this really worrying cycle. France is the biggest, second biggest economy. Italy is the third biggest economy in the Eurozone. If you've got two of those economies in crisis, you know, they account for about 40% of the entire Eurozone in terms of the size of the economy. We are really getting into serious territory. So if the French domino falls, Italy goes next, and then, you know, we're into really worrying territory.
It does remind me, you know, there was all talk back in 2011, we had our own elections here, and there was talk of a seismic change and a seismic shift in Irish politics. And what we did is we replaced Fianna Fáil with Fine Gael. And you've got something similar in the UK, talk about seismic shift, and really they're replacing the Tory party with the Labour party. It's kind of stability, really, is what they're going to get, one way or the other.
That's why I think in this another reason why the French election is
this
so
is
much
very
important.
Different.
The British election, it's going to not really change. In fact, it may improve things, certainly from an Irish perspective, may have a better relationship with the new British government.
Might the more worrying point from an Irish point of view or from a European point of view, Mary Luce, be what is coming down the road with the next presidential election? That you get this parliament full of extremists, you get Macron and they're at loggerheads for a while. But as you say, Macron is coming to the end of his tenure and there's a presidential election in the not too distant future.
Yeah, well, as we discussed.
Kind of a Bordella as prime minister and Le Pen as president. Yeah.
Well, there is another possibility, another scenario which might not play out. But the fact that Macron might, you know, resign. So it's something it's talked about. I don't know anything about that. But and then, you know, constitutionally speaking, he cannot do he wouldn't have done two mandates to the end of the term. So would he be able to run for a candidacy in 2027 if he doesn't finish his mandate in this current mandate? But anyway, so yes, another point of view, which was in a newspaper article today, they say that this RN is they are quite they were preparing for 2027, but they were a bit surprised for this 2024, you know, complete change. So the main worry, I think, is if it's Bardella, you know, in power. The big worry is that are they ready? Are they, you know, again, this question of economy, because you have to you know, expedite the current affairs and, you know, to deal with the economy. So the big worry is that are they able? Are they competent? Are they ready to actually, you know, pilot the country in such difficult time? The same for the others. And because they have no experience. They have no at all, you know, they were no experience, no previous experience. And that's a big worry. And they were anticipating, you know, the next presidential election, but not this one. So in the interim, this is a big unknown between 2024 and 2027.
Well, listen, my hope with this conversation was that some people at home might flick over from Sky News to another channel or maybe try and invest a bit more kind of their bandwidth into what is happening in France mm-hmm. rather than the UK, because I tend to think that it is absolutely important from a European perspective. So thank you both very much for joining me for the conversation. Dan O'Brien, Chief Economist, the Institute of International and European Affairs, and Marie-Luce Paris, who is the Director of the UCD Centre for Human Rights.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.